So today's episode is going to be very, very helpful. But before we start it, I wanted to ask you to subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast or Spotify or any platform you like and share it with your friends and colleagues as well. It will really, really help us. Enjoy the episode. Today, our guest is Eugen Trofimov. Eugen is a design manager at one of the fan companies. He's also an experienced design mentor and a founder of a Russian-speaking design community with 10,000 followers. In his community, he helps designers to get jobs at top tech companies in the world. In this episode, we're talking about how to switch jobs and don't be an asshole in the process, how to understand that you need a new job, how to wrap up stuff on the current place, and how to start at the new one. I am Nikola Kiev.
I'm Ningfei O, and this is Design Unframed,
a podcast that believes that every pixel has a story. So, Eugen, thank you so much for coming.
Well, my pleasure to be here.
Do you remember when was the last time you changed a job, and you know, how was that process like, the most recent job switch?
Yeah, it's happened 4 years ago. To be honest, I clearly remember that moment because that time I wasn't actively looking for new opportunities. However, new opportunities found me, I would say like that, because on LinkedIn, a couple of recruiters from big companies, they reach out, they send me a message, something like, hey, look, your profile looks great. Actually, we're looking for like this type of designer. Do you want to talk with us? Are you interested in? And yeah, this is basically how it started, because that time, as I mentioned, I didn't plan anything. So, but I was curious as well, you know, to talk to big companies and see where it goes.
How can one get a sense that it's a good time to consider switching jobs? For example, I get messages from recruiters on LinkedIn as well. But for me, for example, right now, I don't feel like leaving the company. But what can be signals that you could switch a company or it's a good time to switch?
We can find actually some patterns in these signals, or maybe even red flags. And some of them can be quite obvious, and I'll tell you about this like in a couple of seconds. And some of them might be quite hidden, which can be quite painful later on. So I would say the first thing that is quite obvious is the toxic work environment. So, and obviously this is a red flag. So when you have this environment, and it's quite easy to understand, to be honest, you will feel it anyway. And of course, when you see the message from recruiter, probably you'll, oh yes, yeah, finally I got the message. Yeah, I wanna talk to you guys. Like, okay, because I wanna switch my jobs.
Take me,
yeah.
Take me out.
Yeah, I don't care about salary, about money. Just take me from this environment. Yeah. So I would say environment is important for sure. Right. And if you don't have this, like the proper level of satisfaction in your current environment, then it might be a signal for you that, okay, maybe you need to change something or even like to switch the jobs. Then something that can relate to my first point might be the bad work-life balance. So let's say if you don't have time for your family, for your friends, and what you do is you only spend like all of your time working, right? This is wrong. So it can't be like this, because in one day you'll be burned out if you are working a lot. And obviously it might be good for the company in a short term, but for the long term, for you and for the company, it's not helpful or beneficial at all. So if you feel that you are struggling to find a good work-life balance, it might be also a signal that, okay, it's time to change.
Right. In your case, Eugene, it was an opportunity that came knocking on your door, right? Without naming names, you know, was it more of a push factor for you or pull factor? And, you know, what made you decide that it was time for you to go, right? Is it duration? Like, because some people say, okay, I've stayed here for like 2-3 years or 5 years, it's about time that I moved. Maybe it's a life situation, you know, you've started a family and maybe you have to move because of, let's say for Nikita, it's you know, he perhaps had to make a move, or, you know, there can be so many reasons down to individuals. But what would you say is, in your case, you know, what prompted you to make a move?
Definitely it wasn't about the toxic environment or work-life balance. It was about actually limited opportunities. So unfortunately or fortunately, not all the companies can provide something that you want. And in my case, that time, right, I wanted to grow as fast as possible. I tried to lead huge projects and deliver it on time, obviously, meet the deadlines, communicate with all cross-functional teams, and I liked it at all. And after doing this for a couple of years, I saw that I want to grow even more faster, but unfortunately, the company and company's resources, they couldn't give me this boost, right? So I couldn't accelerate my growth. And it's something that it's not that obvious, right? This is, I'm reflecting right now. So that's why you might think that, oh yeah, it's obvious. But that time, to be honest, it wasn't like that. So it's something that is hidden, right? But something inside you tells you like, hey, look, but you want something else. Like you want to see to do greater things than you are doing like right now at your current place. And just because of these limited opportunities that company had, I decided to talk with the recruiters, right? To see, okay, maybe I can gain new benefits and new challenges in my new role.
Yeah, you know, but sometimes you don't want to leave the company. Yeah, the company is good, but you're grown tired of the product and maybe the team as well. And you want something new as well. In this situation, would you consider internal transfer to another department or another team compared to moving a job? Is it like a good way to change something in your life if you're tired of your team and project and you just don't feel like working on it?
Personally, I would do this first, right? I would try to switch internally. However, it's important to mention that, again, not all the companies can provide you this possibility. So, Well, we definitely know that at huge companies, big top companies, you can do this. I wouldn't say easily, but still it's possible. But I'm not sure about other companies or especially small companies where you just simply don't have enough space or enough departments where you can.
You don't have another team. You have just one team.
Just one team, exactly.
Nowhere to switch.
Yeah. And I know a couple of stories from my friends and from my colleagues. They were in this situation. They didn't want to switch company completely. They just wanted to go to another team or just do or participate in another product. But again, because of the limited opportunities, they couldn't do this. So the answer from the management was like, sorry, but unfortunately, we can't do this for you.
So let's say if the company said, okay, Eugene, I'm sorry, we can't make a lateral move for you. There's no fit or no headcount in this other department. And you've decided, okay, it's time to go. So you pack your bags, you leave, you take up the offer from the other recruiter, and then now you've decided to leave, right? And you're serving out your notice, let's say for 2 months or something like that. What are some best practices that you would do while you are in this, service period and you are expecting to move to somewhere else? You know, what should you do? What are some things, etiquette perhaps to observe? And what can people expect of you, especially from a designer's perspective?
That's a great question. I have a short answer and a long answer. So the short answer would be nice and don't be an asshole. Right. So, and let me try to expand this.
That's general life advice. You know,
Don't be an asshole. Yeah. In any situation.
In any situation. Yeah. Communication is the key to success. And it's also like this phrase can be applicable to many other things, but here especially. We don't want to burn the bridges, right, when we're leaving the company. So we don't want to be an asshole and to be rude to our colleagues. There is no reason to do that, right? And we never know what might happen in the future, right? Maybe you'll see them again. Who knows? So that's why I would say communicate properly with your manager and with your colleagues, right? As soon as possible. So let's say you have 2 months notice, right? So first of all, give appropriate notice. As far as you know, just mention that to your manager or to your direct reports that you are leaving. So it's such a bad situation when designers don't do this in the right moment. And just let's say there is like 1 week left and for some reasons they like, okay, I'm leaving, right? Definitely this is something that's really not, not great. Then I would say when you communicate it properly, of course, complete outstanding tasks, right? So because obviously you, your team, you planned this stream, right? And you need to complete what needs to be done, right? So please document your work and complete all the tasks that were assigned to you. So this is such a nice and great gesture from your side. And also it shows how senior you are. It's about also respect, right? So when you want, when you don't want to leave and say, hey, look, this is the bucket of tasks. It's for you guys. I don't care about you. Just take it because I'm leaving, right? That's bad, right? This is like the an asshole's behavior. Then I would say something really nice, and this is what I gained from good European companies, is do an exit interview. So this is the practice that is, I think it's became more popular now, but talk to your HR department or people ops and be honest. Like, say that, just mention actually why are you leaving, right? What was good? What was bad? So what are the benefits that might be improved in the future? Because this will help company to stop losing good candidates. And maybe as a last point, I would say goodbye to your team and leave your contacts. Because again, as I mentioned at the beginning, we don't want to burn the bridges. Well, let's stay connected, right? And of course, it's really nice to write down your last final email or send a message in Slack. And in my case, for example, what I did, I asked all my colleagues to go to the pub. Well, this is quite a common thing to do in the UK, to go to the pub. And that was my kind of a farewell party where I said like, okay, let's order some beer. Let's talk about good old days. And
that's every Friday in London, though. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's not any different from a farewell. knowing how some of my London friends behave, they go to the pub every other day. That's like, yeah. But it's good practice. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, leave on a good note. Stay in touch. You know, and don't burn bridges. And what about LinkedIn reviews? Do you think it's appropriate to ask for them from your, let's say, superior or your peers?
It depends on your communication. So how good was your communication before, or how you feel about asking these questions to your superior. But in general, I would say it's completely normal practice to ask for review from your from your manager or from your direct reports. It's completely fine, and just don't be pushy, right? Because if your peers don't want to do that, then okay, maybe there is a reason why. But why not?
Yeah, and also when you work at one company for a long, you create a lot of materials, you learn a lot of stuff, and then you can carry over this stuff to another company. For designer, it can be workshop frameworks, UI kits, components, guides, etc. Like a lot of things. So what do you think? How much of this stuff can designer copy to a private Google Drive or a Figma account and apply on another job or in another company?
First of all, what I would do is, again, it's about communication. So I would go to your people ops or maybe to your manager. Well, you can start with the manager first, right? And ask if you can download like specific files, like your sketch file or principal file or keynotes, whatever, and explain why you need this. So because many companies, they're afraid that some of the important data might be leaked, and your goal is just like not to to take some secrets out of the company, but your goal is to create a portfolio or do a case study or like do something, right, to save your work. So if you explain it properly, and if you can find like why and how you would use this information, well, probably it wouldn't be a problem for you to grab some files. Of course, sometimes you can, in different companies, there are some like contracts or NDA agreements, and this is also true. But I wouldn't cover myself by the NDA saying like, okay, I signed a contract, so I can't do this. It really depends on the contract. So you need to read carefully actually what you've signed, right? And what you can do or can't. And then again, go back to your manager and explain the situation. Like, what do you want to transfer to your private Google disk? What kind of information? Why? Where do you want to use it? Because maybe it's going to be in your portfolio that will be with a password, right? So again, it's something about finding the right moment and opportunities, even if it's NDA. But the moment here is try to be open, try to be transparent, and just explain like why you want to do this.
So guys, my congratulations. We've started a new job in a new company, and it's a day one, and we are super excited. We meet a lot of new colleagues, and I suggest to break down this initial onboarding phase into a set of milestones. First day, first week, first month, and then the end of the preparation period.
So first of all, congratulations, as Nick mentioned. This is a really amazing, amazing day for you and for the company as well. So I would say we should start questioning ourselves. So for example, how do you plan to connect yourself to your new organization? So who are your key audiences, and like what messages would you like to convey to them? Also, I would try to understand like what are the most promising focal points to get some early improvements in performance and start the process of behavior change, or what projects do you need to launch and who will lead them? Like something else that personally I asked myself, the question that I asked myself is like, okay, what predictable surprises could take me off the track? So if you ask yourself in advance, so let's say you create a list of questions, and if you ask yourself, it's such a good learning for you to understand how your first day would look like, because it's more about understanding your role, your position, and your audience or team. Of course, it's worth to mention about your manager, about your boss, but it's more about your first week.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Let me talk about the first week. For the first week, it's essential to know other teams and other products, and in general to understand where the company is going. What are the company goals? What are your team goals? So what do you want to achieve? How? Why? What kind of resources do you have? And also don't forget to talk to your boss, to your managers. So if it's possible, go higher. Talk to your directors, or if it's like not huge organization, maybe you can go and talk to co-founders or CEO. It's important to build this network at the beginning, just because in future this will help you. Again, it depends on your role, because if you're a junior, so probably you wouldn't communicate much with the top managers, but still, even if you're a junior designer, it's quite important to understand that if they know that you exist, they might come one day to you with the questions or with the projects, and you'll be the person who can lead this project. Also, yeah, for the first week, focus on understanding the operating model, planning and performance evaluation systems, maybe talent management systems, because they often powerfully influence how you can most effectively have an impact on inside the team or on the product or maybe into the whole organization?
Yeah. So the first day and first week are mostly about learning about the company and asking questions, not about trying to create something or build something. So what are the good questions you can ask your colleagues during the first week?
I talked about networking. I talked about organization. And it's important to create, to frame your questions around these topics. So for example, like, what are the biggest challenges the organization is facing or will face in the near future? Because you don't want to be alone in the field, right? You have to understand the direction where everybody is going, because this will help you to create actually better designs or better like frameworks or understand better the project that you will be working on. Then why is the organization facing these challenges? So again, try to understand what kind of problems and why are they happening? Like, why is this problem? What are the most promising opportunities for growth? Because obviously it's important to understand some things about the company, but also don't forget about yourself, right? Or about your team, if you are like a manager. So you need to find the right direction, how you can grow in the organization, because it's equal to gain some profit for the company, and also the company should give you something back, right? So that's why don't forget about yourself and talk about your growth.
Yeah, you need to understand the track or multiple tracks that you can go.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because it's definitely not the best case where you are sitting in a known situation, you don't know where to go, you don't know how the promotion works, and you just do your job. So, and if you expect something, it's definitely a bad idea, because it's up to you to decide how you can grow, like when you can grow, what kind of resources you might take for this. And without knowing the answers about your growing strategy or growing direction, how you can do this, I think it's almost impossible. Or you're lucky, because I know a couple of cases, a couple of examples where my colleagues got promoted. They didn't plan that. So they were just like randomly doing stuff, and then they got promotion. I mean, I'm happy for
them. That's always good news.
It's always a good news for sure. But and I wish to all of us, like, we will be in one day in this situation.
Right? Tomorrow. Like,
tomorrow, okay.
Tomorrow,
okay.
Yeah.
We will win the lottery.
To all our listeners, we hope tomorrow you will get a random unsolicited promotion from your boss.
Yeah.
Such a good motivation sentence. However,
yeah. And every day you can hope for that, and then at some point you will burn out.
Such a good affirmation. Yeah.
Yeah.
In real life, that's not true. Right, so only like 1-2 whatever, like a small percentage can gain this opportunity for free. For the rest of us, we should work on that. So that's why knowing the strategy and understanding the direction is your key to be successful in this company, in your company. And I think, and actually I have one more question. So maybe let's call it like as a bonus question. This is so powerful, to be honest. So just think about it. If you were me, so let's say you are talking with a manager or director, right? And you're asking this question. So if you were me, what would you focus attention on? Why this question is good? What do you think?
Because you understand the expectations from you by your manager and your team. Yeah, and you have a common direction, right?
Exactly. Exactly. They're telling you what they're expecting from you and what they want to see from you. So you don't need... So, and this is basically a kind of a mistake. If you're trying to guess, let's say, oh, maybe I should do this or that instead of doing X, Y, Z, right? So you don't need to guess. So you need to know for sure what are the expectations, like what do you need to do, right? What kind of the item? Mm. So let's say if it's like a list, right? You need to know that what is A, what is B, what is C. So, and asking this question, they're giving your answer or answers like, okay, Eugene or like Nick or Nin. So we're expecting from you guys doing this and that. Perfect. You have your initial plan, how you can be successful.
So far, we didn't talk about any designer stuff, you know, kind of UI kits, learning the language and these kind of things.
Yeah, I would say, so we didn't mention this on purpose. So this is something that is kind of going by default, right? So anyway, you would dive into Figma or Sketchfile, you would open the design system, you would talk with the developers and designers and see like what kind of projects, where are the components, what's the name rules, like where is the documentation. This is something that everybody is doing. So I'm just trying to highlight some other moments that might be hidden or unclear. So that's why just for our listeners, obviously, please open Sketch Figma file, go deeper, understand how the components work, where designers from the design system team are sitting, etc., etc. But let me try to answer this question and highlight some hidden or unpopular items. So when we're talking about the first month, I would say it would be nice to you create a learning plan, because a learning plan, it's kind of a critical part of onboarding process. So, and learning should be your primary focus of your plan for your first 30 days in this job. So collect information, analyze it, distill it, develop and test hypotheses. So it's something about understanding, and you can see actually this correlates with the first week as well, but it's something more because we're talking about slightly longer period. We're talking about 1 month, right? So, and having this plan, what you will learn, from whom you will learn, who are the main stakeholder, who is the leader. Of course, you'll gain some profits after doing this. And by the way, I mentioned stakeholders, and I think for the first month, it's tremendously important also to build a stakeholder connection. So you have to develop the right relationship as soon as possible. So please identify key stakeholders and build productive working relationships with them. So, and by key stakeholders, it might be other managers, it might be engineering team, it might be BI team. It depends on the company, right? And depends on your project, but focus on the stakeholders. Because it's not only about directors or top management, it's also about other cross-functional teams.
In my experience, I think that for the first month, and even up until the probation period, right? I would say take advantage of the new card because you're a newbie. You've just joined the company. Like you said, it's put out a learning plan, but also at every chance that you can get, seize it to ask questions and to say, hey, I'm new. Can you tell me about this? Can you tell me about that? Or I'm not really clear what's going on because I'm new. Would you care to share more about this particular project or the process behind this? Because that's the only time when you can actually say that. If you're a year in and you're still saying, hey, I'm new, can you tell me more about this? Of like, you're not new at all. You should know what's going on. So that's it's a good card to play during the first couple of months.
Yeah, and also the first month, no one is waiting for you to perform during the first month. No one is waiting for you to just kick off a super big flow, big feature or something. It's the only time that you can spend on learning.
Mm. Exactly. I think, it's really good that Unique mentioned that. I also think it's highly important to you to understand that nobody awaits from you that you will perform for 100%. It's impossible. So in the big organizations, actually they, again, it depends on the organization and the company, but usually they don't think that you will perform at your best even after 6 months, right? Just because the organization is so big, so many departments, quite difficult projects that you need to lead, etc., etc. And for the small companies, yes, the situation might be slightly different. So sometimes after 1 month, they're waiting that you'll perform at your best. But normally, yes, first, second, third months, it's more about learning and asking questions, right? It's not completely about your performance. Of course, you'll do something. As we talked about this like 5 minutes ago, obviously you'll do your designs, you'll build some like frameworks, whatever. But month to month, your team, your managers, they will expect to see more and more. But again, more and more doesn't mean 100%.
Yeah.
It's sometimes good to understand, okay, when you should perform for 100% and when you shouldn't.
It's a really good statement, I can say. Yeah, and if for the first month no one expects you to perform, for the first 6 months or during your probation period, you should show some performance, right? Because if you want to pass the probation period, you should show that you can perform, you can deliver. So the goals after your first month, when we learned, I can say not everything, but the needed amount of information, then you need to show that you can perform. Yeah. And this is your probation period. What can you, Eugene, say about it? Like what should be the goals for the probation period?
Yeah, let's talk about the probation period. I would say one more time, the thing that I mentioned before, it's about the expectations alignment. So again, no matter how well you think you understand what you expect to do, please be sure to check and then recheck expectations once you formally join your new organization, your new team. Then, of course, when we're talking about the whole notice period, it's important to build credibility. So in your first few weeks in your new job, you cannot hope to have like a measurable impact on performance. And again, this is Nick, what you said, but still you can score some small victories. So, for example, you can identify actually where are the low-hanging fruits and try to catch them, right? And it's, again, it shouldn't be something big, and it's impossible, by the way, anyway, for the first like couple of months to do something big. But still, like these low-hanging fruits, you can find it and try to deliver it. It should take like sometimes a couple of days, sometimes a couple of weeks, but you can, in the early stages of your onboarding, you can win some small victories. That's of course, would help to build your credibility.
Yeah, some small projects where you can show your process and your approaches from the beginning to the end. From the problem identification, like then to, from the discovery, I mean, to ideation, then to wireframing or something, and then to final design and development. You can show the whole, and during working with this small project, you will work with the whole team, you will work with the stakeholders, then with the researcher maybe, when with developers, and you will show everyone, because it's really a matter of showing everyone what you are capable of.
Yeah.
So I wanted also to listen, because Ning is a UX writer. We are designers, but Ning is a writer. I wanted also to hear his perspective on this, on this first day, week, whatever. How is a UX writer's approach should be different from UX designer's approach?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Nikita. I think UX writers sometimes can be neglected if there's a big design team and you're one or two UX writers, as is my case now. What happened for me was most of the time I've had the opportunity to found the UX practice at the companies that I worked in, which means that setting expectations is not so straightforward because there isn't already an established practice that the, let's say, head of design is aware of. So then I'm expected to go in to have a lay of the land to see if there's already any existing guidelines or voice and tone guides, style guides, and so on. And then my next immediate job in the first week or first month is to get plugged in and get to work to clear up the really messy bits as far as possible. Because at the point where companies want to hire a content designer or UX writer, sometimes it's not just because they want to form a full team, but because there is a pressing issue of, let's say, unclear communications, or the writing or copy is really bad and they need a fixer to come in and fix things. So if that's a scenario, then sure, you know, get engaged and get, you know, hit the ground running, right? But otherwise, if I have the luxury of time, then what I would do is set a really good rhythm with your stakeholders, make sure there's a pace, there's a cadence, you can, you know, be part of the design process, and that's very important, right? Establishing that UX writing is a part and parcel of design. It is design, and getting that message across, because no one is going to champion it for you. No one's going to advocate for it for you because you're the only one who is that. And not everybody understands it as a practice, especially outside of the design teams. So that's the first few months for me. And generally, you know, after that, it's more about scoping out bigger projects, defining areas where there's perhaps more room for improvement or can improve business metrics a bit more. Perhaps it's about localization. You need to start it, or maybe there's a particular feature that's really complicated and it's very technical and requires you to work with legal quite often. So then it's about carving those spaces out for me. So that kind of describes the whole process from zero to one, right? If you're fortunate enough to be in a place where there are already UX writers, then great, you know, it can be easier for you because it's a softer landing ground when you go in. There are people to guide you along. There is already a set guideline of practices. But the other rules apply, right? Same thing. Make sure that you are in touch with your designers, with your stakeholders. You ask the right questions, set expectations from, you know, day one. And hopefully you pass your probation and that you will hear from your boss one random day. Hey, Ning, you're promoted. You know.
Yeah, message to your boss. Yeah, he will listen to this podcast as well. I remember when you joined the company, when you joined the Bolt, you had to set up the whole process, like how mm-hmm. people work with you. And it's working, I don't know, for how long, for 1 year already?
A bit more than a year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've set up like a Jira space where we can create tasks for you with all like super useful feels like Figma link, then when it's expected. What one thing I really like about your setup that you ask deadline and then you ask, is it a soft deadline or a hard deadline?
Yes, yeah. Because deadlines are arbitrary. If there's one thing I learned, deadlines are arbitrary. And, you know, if it's a hard deadline, tell me, you know, otherwise I'm going to assume it's flexible.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because this question is the best in your setup because you can understand, okay, should I do it 100% by this deadline, or I can neglect or discuss it.
One thing that I noticed when Neen talked about his experience, it's about different type of companies, right? And different stages, actually, when do they want to hire like a UX writer? And I think it would be relevant also for designers and for other specialists, because in some stages, that might be like a sink or swim approach, and where you need to do like in a startup environment, right? And in some other stages, you're just like, okay, you have time, please sit, like relax, whatever. And this actually leads me to another thought. It's about, I think, cultural adaptation, because it's so important for you as a specialist to understand some cultural nuances that the organization, that the company has at the moment. And based on that, you can also, of course, tweak your plan, because what we discussed it's like, I think we tried to make it a little bit abstract so it can be applicable to different organizations, but obviously based on these cultural nuances, you can tweak your plan a little bit and see, okay, maybe I don't have time to think about, to talk with all the people on my first week, right? I need to deliver this task because it's so urgent, right? So obviously, think about team's culture.
Yeah, it is super important. One more question about applying your experience from previous job on a new job. How should one approach carrying over some practices or experience from previous company into new one, and how, if at all, should they be proposed and implemented? Because the processes in different companies are different. In one company, you had a team of 20 designers. In another company, you have a team of 3 designers. Let's say you joined a startup after a big company to build a team or something. Yeah. And 100% the processes from your big company, from the previous big company, won't work fully in the startup. To which extent, maybe it's a hard question or like a vague one, but to which extent should you apply practices and learnings from your previous experience on a new
company? And can I just add as well that question?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I myself don't know how to, I don't know what to feel when somebody says, you know, oh yeah, you know, when I was at XYZ, we did this and that, or like, oh, when I was at a fan company, this is what we did. And I'm like, okay, sure, it might have applied in your scenario. Maybe it's good here, maybe it's not. So I don't really know what to expect from that yet. And, you know, perhaps you can share a bit about that.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough question. But let's think about the answer. So I would start with reflecting on your past experience first. So just I would take some time to reflect on my previous job roles, on my responsibilities and my achievements, because like I did something that gained this like benefit, or I achieved this goal because I did this and that. And then I think it's important to identify the skills, the knowledge and experience that I gained that might be relevant to my new position and to my new company. Yes, let's say I worked in the big company before and now I'm going to the startup. And obviously the culture, some other things might be completely different. But still, maybe I can take something from my past and this something try to implement to the new structure and it might be successful. So that's why I would, to answer this question, and also this is kind of might be an advice from me to the listeners, try to answer these questions like, what has made you successful so far in your career? Or can you succeed in your new position by relying solely on those strengths that you gained or that you have? And if not, if you can't rely on that, okay, what are the critical skills that you need to develop? Because when we're going to the new company or to the new team, first of all, we should to be open to learning, obviously, right? We can't say we know everything, right? Even if I worked in a multiple, in a different companies and I have like 20 years of experience, it doesn't mean that I can say I know everything. Of course, I have to be open to something new. And based on that, feel free to seek feedback and guidance, because also this is a crucial part to be successful in your new role, in your new job. So that's why, yeah, I would say these 3 main points would be helpful when you're going to your new position.
The last question, what would you tell to your younger self when you first decided to switch companies?
Such a good question. Yeah, let me think and try to answer this question, but I know that I want to hear your answers as well. So also okay. think about it. Just for the context, for the first time when I did this, I was super shy to do that. I was like, wow, why I'm doing this? Probably I'm betraying the company. I'm doing something bad. And I felt bad because of that. So what I would do, I would say that, no, it's okay. It's normal process. Don't be afraid of it. You're going to like a new role or a new company because of these reasons. And you know these reasons, right? So for example, you go to the new company just because they have more like resources or their team is amazing, right? And I want to learn something new from the team. I want to grow myself, or I want to be among like the better designers. So it's a normal process. So you shouldn't be shy or hide this fact. It's something very natural for us, for people, and especially for designers, try to seek new opportunities and grow ourselves as a specialist. So that's why be proud of it. So at least you interviewed with another company, right? And they saw a potential. They saw the results and they might see your bright future. So why not to be proud of it and to tell your friends or your manager about these facts? So I think it's okay.
Yeah, I remember my first experience. I would say set up a meeting. Don't tell about it to your boss by phone. This is what I did because I worked in a very, very small company with like 10, 12 people working in it. And when I got an offer, I was so excited. I called my boss and told him I'm leaving. It was so stupid. I should have set up a meeting and tell properly what are the reasons why I leave the company, what should I do, and ask all what we talked about today. Ask what I should do before leaving, explain why I'm leaving the company, and keep a good relationships. This is what I would advise to myself. And don't worry, you are not letting anyone down. It's just a normal process. Yeah, I was feared as you, Eugene. Yeah.
Yeah, same for me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I would say to my younger self as well that the company is an institution, and especially if you're in a startup, they can let go of you, you know, seemingly heartlessly or without mercy the next day as well, right? And a lot of it is just it's not because of your boss directly, not because of yourself. It's just circumstance that's out of your control, right? It could be investor pressure. It could be a dozen other reasons that you don't know. And so same for you, right? They wouldn't take your deciding to go as you've betrayed them unless you're an asshole about it, right? Sure. But if you've done well, you've stayed, you know, let's say even if you've stayed past probation or you've stayed up for a long time, it's not like they don't understand. You know, if a lot of them have switched jobs themselves, they would understand why you want to make a move. And there are so many other reasons in life besides your immediate job, right? You have family concerns. So yeah, that's what I would tell my younger self.
Yeah, nice. Eugene, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you guys for having me. And I think I just want to summarize our talk just maybe in two sentences just for our listeners. So designers, if you are joining a new organization, identify and connect with the key stakeholders, clarify expectations, and adapt to the new culture. And then plan your changes. So learn, design, build support, implement, and observe. And the last thing is that early wins in the first days can build your good credibility and make your future more brighter.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. First you work for your reputation, then the reputation works for you. Eugene, thank you again.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for listening this episode. If you like what you heard, don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. And share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. That will help us to grow. Stay tuned for more design talks.